Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to turn in your Bible to Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verse 8 through verse 10. And Marcos, could you turn me up just a little bit? I feel like I'm have to yell. I probably don't. Thank you. Probably don't have to yell, but can't help how I feel. I guess that's not really the truth, is it? All right, Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8, and of course this is part of the Christmas story. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." In verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Let's say that together. Verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Verse 15, "So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now, when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child." They went and jabbered about it, right? "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Amen.
Glory.
Amen. This is my Christmas message. I usually preach one Christmas message a season, and this one is as far away from Christmas as it can be, but it's still my Christmas message, right? And you've got a week to take all this in, and enjoy your week by what I tell you today.
Amen. Amen.
All right. I'm going to start with a couple of stories here, and we'll go from there. According to the Alaska Department of Fish and Game, while both male and female reindeer grow antlers during the summer of each year, the male reindeer drop their antlers at the beginning of winter, usually late November to mid-December. Female reindeer, however, retain their antlers till after they give birth in the spring. Therefore, according to every historical rendition depicting Santa's reindeer, every single one of them, from Rudolph to Blitzen, had to be female. Now, folks, we should have realized this long before now, because after all, those reindeers are always able to find their way.
Amen.
Amen. Women have another advantage over men, probably more than another one, but we'll talk about another one, because buying gifts for men is not nearly as complicated as buying gifts for women. Amen? I'm going to give you a simple rule, and you'll have no problems, okay? More than one rule, but simple rules, and you should have no problem at all. Rule number one. This is women buying men a gift. When in doubt, buy him a cordless drill. It does not matter if he already has one.
That's right.
I have a friend who owns 17, and he is yet to complain. As a man, you can never have too many cordless drills. No one knows why. Rule number two. If you cannot afford a cordless drill, buy him anything with the word ratchet or socket in it. Men love saying those two words. Hey, George, can I borrow your ratchet? Okay, by the way, are you through with my 3/8 inch socket yet? Again, no one knows why. Rule three, if you are really, really broke, buy him anything for his car. A 99 cent ice scraper, a pine tree air freshener, or anything else to hang from his rearview mirror. Men love gifts for their cars. No one knows why. Rule four, never buy men bathrobes. Once I was told that if God had wanted men to wear bathrobes, he wouldn't have invented jockey shorts. Rule five, you can buy men new remote controls to replace the ones they have worn out. If you have a lot of money, buy your man a big screen TV with a little picture in the corner. Watch him go wild as he flips and flips and flips. Rule six, do not buy any man industrial-sized canisters of aftershave or deodorant. I'm told men do not stink. They are earthy. Earthy. Buy men label makers. Almost as good as cordless drills. Within a couple weeks, there will be labels absolutely everywhere. Socks, shorts, cups, saucers, door, lock, sink. You get the idea. No one knows why. Rule number eight, never buy a man anything that says some assembly required. It will ruin his special day, and he will always have parts left over. No one knows why. Rule number nine, good places to shop for men, and these are not local, because this is a national joke. A good place to shop for men include Northwest Ironworks, Car Lumber, Home Depot, John Deere, Valley RV Center, Les Schwab Tire, Napa Auto Parts, and Sears Clearance Centers are also excellent men's stores. It doesn't matter if he doesn't know what it is. From Napa Auto, must be something I need. Hey, isn't that a starter from the 68 Ford Fairlane? Wow! Thanks! Rule 10. Men enjoy danger. That's why they never cook, but they will barbecue. Yes. No one knows why. Get him a monster barbecue with a 100-pound propane tank. Tell him the gas line leaks. All the thrill. The challenge. Anybody want a hamburger? Rule 11. Tickets to a football game are a smart gift. However, he will not appreciate tickets to a retrospective of 19th century quilts. Everyone knows why. Rule 12. Men love chainsaws. But never ever buy a man you love a chainsaw. If you don't know why, please refer back to rule number 7 and what happens when he gets a label maker. Rule 13. It's hard to beat a really good wheelbarrow or an aluminum extension ladder. However, never buy a real man a regular step ladder. It must be an extension ladder. No one knows why. Rule 14. Rope. Men love rope. It takes us back to our cowboy origins, or at least the Boy Scouts. Nothing says love like 100 feet of 3/8-inch manila rope. No one knows why. I picked up a little sign the other day and put it in my garage, and it said, only 2 tools are needed to repair anything. WD-40 and duct tape. And it says, if it doesn't move and it's supposed to, use WD-40. And if it moves and it's not supposed to, use duct tape.
True story, I duct taped the fans in my RV in because they wouldn't mount, the screw holes wouldn't mount, so I duct taped them. Works great.
I still have trauma from all the WD-40.
Share it with the rest of us.
I did that just 2 weeks ago.
I didn't hear. Folks back here didn't hear.
Say it again, Larry. Brother Larry, tell them again. They didn't hear you.
Oh, I duct taped in the fans from my RV. I had to replace the fans in the roof of my RV, and the screw holes didn't line up. Duct tape worked great.
Yes, nobody knows what
Nobody knows why.
Hey, cheap fix, it worked.
Well, I hope I've helped some of you women when you shopping this. If I didn't talk to me, I'd probably have a few more things I could tell you. All right, I want to get into a message today, and I titled this thing, The Sights of Christmas. Sights, S-I-G-H-T-S, of Christmas. A man by the name of Hal Bowser made this statement, or made this little testimony here. He said, the most exciting gift I've ever received was the microscope my parents gave me for Christmas when I was 11. The first thing he did on that Christmas day was to go out in the backyard, and he got some water from a puddle, from a rain puddle. He put a drop under his microscope, and what he saw changed his whole life. He saw creatures he never knew existed, and a world filled with life beyond his wildest dreams. He realized that microscopy opened up whole new worlds of color and creativity. No longer would even a slimy ditch water be contemptible to him, for everywhere there was fascinating beauty in life. Amen. When he matured, he joined the New York Microscopical Society and began to meet large numbers of micromaniacs. People all over the world study animal, mineral, and vegetable phenomena invisible to the naked eye, and they see wonders that most people never see. And since there are countless folks who view things that God has made that the rest of the world will never see. That's exactly what happened on that very first Christmas. It was a moment in time when man was able to view the invisible world. The most advanced technology and electronic microscopes could not have enabled man to see what was seen on that first Christmas. All the main characters involved in the Christmas story were allowed to see the world of the invisible. Mary was permitted to see the angel Gabriel, who came to announce she was going to give birth to the Messiah. Only three people in all of history, Daniel, Mary, and Zechariah, saw this divine messenger who stands in the presence of God all the time. Joseph was given a vision by which he was able to see Mary, was not unfaithful, but was with the child by the Holy Spirit. What he saw in that vision enabled Joseph to follow God's plan. The wise men would never have been a part of the Christmas story had God not revealed to them the Star of Bethlehem. This was clearly a supernatural sight, not visible to all the world, but only those chosen who were gazing at the heavens for a sign. Such a sight would have brought people from everywhere, everywhere we can imagine, if only they could have seen it. But the Star of Wonder was revealed to just a few. The shepherds had their own unique supernatural vision. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, illuminating the field below with the glory of the Lord. The wise men never got to see these glorious beings, the angels of the shepherds. And the shepherds never saw the star of the wise men. Mary and Joseph apparently did not see either sight. God gave each person and each group of persons the exact vision necessary to motivate them to do what He will. The one vision they all had in common was the most marvelous vision of all. They all saw the Word become flesh. They all saw the invisible become visible. The Son who reigned with God in the invisible realm of the Spirit, where the eyes of man cannot penetrate, was now visible in that babe of Bethlehem. The participants in Christ's birth were given the opportunity to see the greatest miracle in all of history, the wonder of the ages that makes all other miracles pale in comparison. This was the eyewitness event of all time.
Hallelujah.
The eyewitness event of
Hallelujah.
All time.
Thank you, Lord.
Christmas is a seeing experience. Christmas is a seeing experience.
Yes.
The response of the shepherds has become the universal response at Christmas. Let us go see. Let us go see. There was no hesitation as the shepherds hurried to see the Christ child. And as for the wise men, it was if they could not rest until they viewed the Christ child. The strongest desire of that first Christmas was to behold the gift of God.
Hallelujah.
The eye gate is still the most exciting way to enjoy Christmas experience because it is the season for seeing. Let's go see Santa. Let's go see the decorations. Let's go see the lights. Let's go see the Christmas play. Let's go see the Nutcracker, etc. Let's go see Kurt's sled. Amen. The whole nation is caught up in a seeing frenzy at Christmas.
Yeah.
Seeing is what gets us in the mood. We put up the tree and get out the decorations. That changes the whole atmosphere. Why? Because seeing is the essence of the season. When the Word became flesh, and we beheld the glory of God in visible form, that experience, that reality, changed everything. We view God in a new light. and all of life is seen from a new perspective. But we must continue to be aware that Satan can lead us astray through the visual. Amen?
Yes.
Through the visual. He'll entice us in ways that will make us consider Christmas nothing more than partying and receiving gifts. Saints, we must consciously remind ourselves that the wonders and beauty of Christmas should always lead us to the stable and the manger bed of the Christ child.
Amen.
Yes.
Never allow the beauty and excitement of Christmas to distract us from Jesus. Remember Adam and Eve? God gave them an environment of unmatched beauty, pleasing to the eye. In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9 it says, "And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that it is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil." Adam and Eve were dwelling in a place with unmatched beauty. But you will recall that the forbidden fruit was considered beautiful as well, and they were easily tempted by it. So it is with the beauty of Christmas. God wants us to enjoy it, but not become so distracted that you take your eyes off the real gift, the gift of our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Dale Evans Rogers wrote a book entitled Christmas Is Always. And Pat Boone wrote a book entitled The Real Christmas. Both of these well-known Christian entertainers didn't negate Santa Claus from Christmas. In fact, they saw in this jolly old Saint Nick that which led them to appreciate the Lord Jesus. They were seeing the secular symbol as a potential sacred symbol. Many Christians feel Santa is a mere secular symbol in the myth, but these two popular Christians saw more. They believed that if you knew the history of Santa, you would see the more that they see. Amen? Dale Evans takes us back to Asia Minor, where all the churches that Jesus spoke of in the book of Revelation were located. In the 4th century, a rich merchant lived there who had no children. He and his wife prayed that if God would give them a boy, they would train that child to love and serve him. When God answered that prayer, they named the boy Nicholas. He was lovingly nurtured and well educated in the Christian faith. His parents died when he was rather young, but they left Nicholas quite a sum of money. Nicholas, however, was generous, and he gave most of it away. He did keep 3 bags of gold that he assumed would provide for him for the rest of his life. But Nicholas had so much compassion for 3 poor girls that had no dowry to get married, he decided to give the 3 bags of gold to the 3 poor girls. Later, Nicholas determined to become a priest, and after finishing his studies, he went back to his hometown of Myra in Greece. Unfortunately, the town was in a state of turmoil. The bishop had just died, and the clergy could not agree on who should take over. So they decided that the next priest to enter the cathedral would become the bishop. By the providence of God, Nicholas was that man and was proclaimed the new bishop of Myra. He became known as the patron of the children. Patron of the children because of his untiring efforts to teach them. On his birthday, December 6th, he collected presents to give to all the children of Myra. This eventually became a tradition all over Europe and was done in the memory of St. Nicholas. After many years, the gift giving was shifted to Christmas gift giving. Santa Claus is the Dutch name of St. Nicholas. And the Dutch brought the tradition of gift giving to America. Y'all can thank my relatives for that. The Dutch were really impressed by St. Nicholas. And by the 13th century, they had 23 St. Nicholas churches. 23.
Wow.
St. Nicholas was eventually introduced in America, where he has become a tradition in our culture. Mythology has developed through the years with his elves and reindeer, etc. But the fact remains, Nicholas was a Christian with the gift of love and the gift of giving. And when we peel away the myth, we can understand the symbol, that of a Christ-like spirit. Pat Boone writes, "Surely Santa, as he should be, as little children see him, a spirit of love, of generosity, of merriment, he would have delighted the heart of the Christ child." Amen. I share this illustration to help you understand that people see different things even when they are looking at the same thing.
Yes.
Amen? Many consider Santa and see only a secular myth, and they turn away. Others look at Santa and see a symbol of a Christ-like spirit, one of love, of giving, and of sacrificing. Jesus entered the world to bring a Christ-like spirit to all men, and his presence on the first Christmas brought a joy and wonder beyond description. Angels sang, men rejoiced, kings bowed in homage, and parents watched in awe. The glory of God had come. What you see in the sights of Christmas all depends on what you desire to see. I want to say that again, please. What you see in the sights of Christmas all depends on what you desire to see. There are times I must confess that I have to fight the Scrooge in me. For instance, when I see the massive Christmas decorations in the mall. Almost immediately, I consider the amount of the money invested in all of that. That sum of money could have easily been given to help the poor and the needy. And honestly, I'm only seeing the extravagance of it, not realizing I'm no better than those who criticized Mary for wasting her perfume by anointing Jesus. Some in that room considered it a waste, but not Jesus. To the Lord, he viewed Mary's gift as one of love and honor and sacrifice, an act that would not be duplicated. Today, I have a new perspective. I consider those expensive decorations as a tribute to the King, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, that's probably not the motive of those mall owners when they decorate so lavishly. It's more like pride or competition and greed. But the point is, I must choose what I will see. I must choose what I will see. Will I see the negative and be a complainer? Or will I choose to see the positive and become a praiser? All the sights of Christmas present you with the choice. The wise men saw in the Star of Bethlehem the symbol of the coming King, and they were moved to search for him so that they could worship him. Herod, on the other hand, saw that star as a threat, and he searched for the king to eliminate him. What you see is what you get, and you choose what you see. The wise man chose to see the star, a wonderful event. Herod chose to see a threatening event. In fact, the fact remains that the king revealed through the Bethlehem Star was Herod's savior too. Herod could have chosen to be the first to honor the gift of God with a feast or celebration. Unfortunately, he chose to see this newborn king as competition and sought to destroy him. Norman Vincent Peale, the father of positive thinking, had to learn from his father that positive thinking is a choice. You have to choose what you think and how you view the world. I want you to listen to his testimony. One Christmas Eve when I was 12, I was out with my minister father doing some late Christmas shopping. We were both loaded down with packages, and I was getting tired of it and a bit cross. I was thinking how good it would be to get home when a beggar, a bleary-eyed, unshaven, dirty old man came up to me, touched my arm with a hand like a claw, and asked for money. He was so repulsive that instinctively I recoiled. Softly, my father said, "Norman, it's Christmas Eve. You shouldn't treat a man that way." I was unrepentant. Not going to change my mind. I was unrepentant. "Dad," I complained, "he's nothing but a bum. He's nothing but a bum." My father spoke strongly. "Maybe he hasn't made much of himself, but he's still a child of God." He then handed me $1, a lot of money for those days, and certainly for a preacher's income. "I want you to take this and give it to that man," he said. "Speak to him respectfully. Tell him you are giving it to him in Christ's name." "Oh, Dad," I protested, "I can't do anything like that." My father's voice was firm. "Go and do what I tell you." So reluctant and resisting, I ran after the old man and said, "Excuse me, sir, I give you this money in the name of Christ." He stared at the dollar bill, then looked at me in utter amazement. A wonderful smile came to his face, a smile so full of life and beauty that I forgot that he was dirty and unshaven. I forgot that he was ragged and old. With a gesture that was almost courtly, he took off his hat. Graciously, he said, "And I thank you, young sir, in the name of Christ." All my irritation, all my annoyance faded away. The street, the houses, everything around me suddenly seemed beautiful because I had been part of a miracle that I've seen many times since. The transformation that comes over people when you think of them as children of God, when you offer them love in the name of the baby born 2,000 years ago in a stable in Bethlehem, a person who still lives and walks with us and makes his presence known. That was my Christmas discovery that year, the gold of human dignity that lies hidden in every living soul, waiting to shine through if we only will give it a chance. Some years ago, I began to understand that the positive principle in part is part of all loving human relationships. And for that insight, I'm very grateful. Because Peale learned you can choose how to see people. He chose to see them as children of God. He became an encourager because he chose to see in all people the potential of being channels of God's love. Channels of God's love. The sight he saw that Christmas made him a wise man. The light of the world has come, and what will we do with the light? The challenge for all of us is to go into this Christmas season determined to see the sights of Christmas in a way that prompts us to praise the Lord and become one who shares his light in this dark world. Let your prayer be, open my eyes, Lord. I want to see Jesus. The gifts of God are everywhere, folks, yes, if we will only choose to see. To see. Certainly there are those who don't open their eyes or their ears or their heart. They wander through the stores looking for Christmas. But then there are those who open their heart, their mind, their soul, their whole being to the Lord, bending their knees to praise the God in heaven for the most wonderful gift ever, Jesus, our Emmanuel.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
These are the ones who carry Christmas with them every day of every year. To these folks, the whole world is a gift. Hallelujah. It does no ultimate good for man to see the far-reaching galaxies or the finite microscopic creatures God has created if they fail to see the in the sights of Christmas the wonder of God's love.
Amen.
Amen. When the flickering lights, the beautiful colors, and the Christmas hymns inspire you to praise Almighty God for the gift of His Son, then you are seeing with eyes of faith. Eyes of faith. Malcolm Muggeridge, the distinguished international journalist from England, became a Christian. He tells of being in Bethlehem to make a film. He was turned off by the commercialism, especially in the Church of the Nativity, where beggars and children were offering postcards and trinkets for sale. I've heard this story many different directions. He wrote this, "How ridiculous those so-called shrines were. I was thinking to myself, how squalid the commercialism which exploited them. Who but a credulous fool could possibly suppose that the place marked in the crypt with a silver cross was exactly the precise spot where Jesus had been born? The Holy Land, as it seemed to me, had been turned into a sort of Jesus land on the lines of Disneyland." But then he took his eyes off the commercialism and began to observe the faces of those visitors coming into the crypt. He saw faces transformed by being in the place where the Word became flesh. People were not debating whether or not this was the actual spot where Jesus was born. They were not complaining about the junk being sold. They were in a state of awe because they looked beyond what man was doing there to all that God had done there. These visitors were seeing the invisible. Muggeridge himself sensed the presence of the Savior as the glory of the Lord shone round about them. In the very spot where Christmas began, he had to choose what he would see in that setting. He had to choose what he would see in that setting. Would he see the secular of man's folly and greed, or would he see the sacred of God's awesome love and presence? We all must choose what we see this Christmas. For in this fallen world remains the darkness of sin, but also the light of salvation. Both are present everywhere. As Christians, let us choose to focus our attention for the reason for the season, the light, the love, the glory of the Christ child. Amen. Whether you are shopping, now listen, folks, this is real important. Whether you are shopping, wrapping, sending cards, or making me a pie, remember, look for Jesus. Amen. He is everywhere. Yes. Choose to see peace, folks. Choose to see peace. Yes. Choose to see joy. Choose to see love. Choose to see Jesus. Merry Christmas, brothers and sisters.
Merry Christmas.
God bless you and yours by revealing the Christ child to you this wonderful Christmas season.
Amen.
Let's stand together and pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. It was your idea for Jesus to come. I don't think any of us humans would have ever thought of it. I don't know how we can just not give this much thought. You, God of the universe, want a relationship with me. With all of us. And I believe it was designed and thought about long before creation. That Jesus would come and pardon our souls.
Thank you, oh God.
Lord, what a wonderful Christmas gift. How good it is that we can look at people in a different way. Without the negative. Focused on the good, focused on the love. Lord, encourage us to talk to these people about their eternal security, Lord. Help us be your witnesses this Christmas. Give us words to start conversation. Give us ways we can show love. And Lord, these things may be built into us if we look at things through your eyes and not man's eyes. They may be already there. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. Lord, let this be the best Christmas ever. Because we're looking through your eyes, Lord. Let us see your hand in everything. Because it's in everything.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, thank you for this church, the love we have for each other. I pray about the service tonight the food. Lord, give us a time of fellowship and relaxation and the ability to enjoy the Christmas spirit. Thank you, Lord, for all you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless y'all. I love you. I love you much. I'm going to be